You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. You're watching Pirate Breakdown with Sutton Young. Join Sutton every Wednesday night on The Sports Objective as he talks East Carolina football. Here's Sutton.
You know, it's a little surprise. We're on here on a Friday night with a little over an hour until ECU and BYU kick off in Provo. But you know what? The days don't matter. We're still going to give you the same great information. We've got Bubba with me tonight. Bubba, I think first things first, the win against UCF, in my opinion, was the most complete team win I have seen in the Mike Houston era since he's been here.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. That seems to have been the sentiment of most around the Pirate program, that that was definitely the most impressive win of the Mike Houston era, and rightfully so. You know, you did have the win over SMU, a team that was either in or just outside of the top 25, very much like UCF. But, you know, that win, as good as it was, that was game 9 of that very weird 2020 season. Last weekend, I mean, this came in the heart of the schedule. Pirates still have a chance in the league race. You never know what could happen if we continue to play excellent football, which we are right now, and we're 5-3, and a lot of good things ahead of us, and depending on how we take care of our business.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, I mean, I love ECU just as much as anybody else does. But, and you know this, Bubba, I'm not soft on giving ECU wins. I'm going to say it straight up. If I think they're going to win, I'm going to say, yeah, I think they're going to win. If I think they're going to lose, I'm going to say it. So I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, everyone who I was talking to about it just was in shock. Not as in about the game, but just – frankly, a lot of it too. UCF just looked like they decided to go to Disney World instead.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that the Pirates won. It was more so just the dominating fashion in which we did win. And yes, I know. You look at the stat sheet. You know, as they say a lot of times, you know, stats are for losers. And yes, the Pirates had an advantage in the playoffs. But a lot of those yards for UCF, and at least probably 150 of them came when the Pirates were playing a little softer in the secondary, and they're making them, making sure that they drove the distance and didn't give up any cheap explosion plays that let them back into the game after having that 17-point lead. But, what a performance in all three phases outside of the field goal that was missed on the opening possession. I mean, you saw the offense execute with so much consistency, not having to punt until halfway through the fourth quarter. You saw the defense right. four turnovers, and you saw the kickoff coverage was excellent. And you saw Malik Fleming have a nice punt return or two, and you saw Andrew Conrad, and you saw him bounce back after doinking that first one off the upright. And it looked like he hit it well. He just pulled it a little bit. And Coach Houston said in his, I guess it was either his radio show or his weekly press conference, hey, I went and put my arm around him and asked him if he was all right. And he said, I'm good, Coach. And then he certainly showed it the rest of the night, even though he didn't hit a lengthy field goal. And he split the uprights and converted all of his extra points and reflected, what he had said to Coach Houston, and hopefully he'll continue to progress and give the Pirates some stability in the place-kicking game.
Yeah, and that's something I'm waiting to see from Andrew, is a long field goal, a good mid-40s field goal. I'm waiting to see that out of him. I mean, it's pretty clear to me that he's looked better than Owen. I mean, you look at the extra points and really just all around special teams just looks better. And I'm not saying it was all on Owen. I'm not. I mean, said it earlier in the year after we lost to State. The field goal really was not on him. But I put all that in the past, I think right now special teams is looking all right. and Andrew Conger has a lot to do with that.
Well, that's the thing. The PAT field goal situation had been so dire and so extreme, through the first half of the season, having missed six PATs, that it was giving a black eye to all the special teams because it was so poor. Because really, our return game had been good, our coverage had been good on both punts and kickoffs, and then you did have the block punt against NC State, and no, our net punting had not been what we would like for it to be, but Luke Larson has steadily improved. He only had to punt once a week ago, and that one was a good one. I think netted 41 yards, and it was in a key situation, and UCF was coming after it, and he got it off and was able to angle it away from the UCF return man and get it out of bounds about the 15-yard line. So, yeah, on the whole, special teams are progressing, and it was really just the PAT field goal and then also, to a lesser degree, the punt team that was giving special teams a black eye. But, yeah. Earlier, Sutton, off the air, we were talking about the performance of Holton Ahlers. Holton's had an excellent season, and he's been even better in these last 2 weeks. Just so steady, and Donnie Kirkpatrick, as well as Mike Houston, has referenced his decision making and just his ability to check in or out of plays and just make good decisions. And a poor decision has been very rare these last 2 weeks. Right. He's completed 80% of his passes, 56 out of 70, 600 plus yards, and just putting the football exactly where it needs to be and on time, and allowing guys like Isaiah Winstead and C.J. Johnson, Ryan Jones to make plays.
No, absolutely. And I think really the biggest takeaway is, myself included, I've talked with many people about this, is for UCF, we were looking at wins for the CCU team, and I'm thinking, okay, we got Temple, but I couldn't really think of another one with how poorly we had played against Tulane. And I mean, the ECU certainly proved me wrong, and I'll say this, if ECU plays like they played against UCF, not only will they win the game tonight, but they will also beat Houston, because Houston is not the team we expected they would be. You look at Cincinnati, of course, is red hot. They look good. They haven't lost since they went to Fayetteville and lost to the Razorbacks. And, I mean, Temple's a joke. So, I mean, do I think this team is going to get to the six-win mark? Yes, I do. I said to start the year 6-6. I mean, they could get to 7-5. Who knows, maybe 8-4. I mean, not trying to knock on wood, they could win out. But we don't know. That's the beauty of football, is surprises. And we were certainly surprised with the performance last week. Now, going into the matchup tonight, ECU in Provo for just the second time in school history. 45-38 was the final the last time the Pirates went to Provo. ECU on the shorter end of that stick. But ECU has beaten the Cougs. They beat them, I believe it was 34-17, when Scotty Montgomery was the coach of East Carolina. And frankly, it did not look like a Scotty Montgomery coached team that day that ECU beat BYU. So it's been a short series, but it's been a good series too. And Bubba, I think that the game tonight is going to be a good game.
I definitely agree. And before we talk about tonight's game, since you mentioned this series, obviously third matchup with the Cougs, and as you look at that 2017 game, the Pirates were victorious 33-17 at Dowdy-Ficklin, and that night it was two bad football teams. I'm just being honest. I mean, that was the least potent of an offense by BYU, who you think of as having great offenses. Right. And in that night, it was a game that both programs desperately needed. And I think they finished 4-9 that year. The Pirates, of course, were
finishing 3-9 in year two of Scotty Montgomery. But that 2015 game, that start to the 2015 game is exactly what we need tonight.
Yeah,
we started that game
14-0. James Summers had probably about a 30-35 yard touchdown run, and then we blocked a punt, and Giannis Bowden, crawling on all fours in the left corner of the end zone, recovered it to give the Pirates that 2-touchdown lead before they lost 45-38. Blake Kemp, I recall him coming on in relief of James Summers, and he had a big night throwing the football like he did a few times that season, like down in the swamp. But and Bryce Williams, he had a big night. So hopefully we'll – I really think looking at this matchup, as we get to the here and now, I was talking to Garrett McClintock, who's with BYU's 24/7 site this afternoon, and he says that, he really thinks we have an advantage in, pretty much in every phase in this matchup. Particularly offensively and defensively, just they've really struggled to stop the run, and that bodes well with having a guy like Keaton Mitchell. He said Keaton Mitchell was on his fantasy team with his home run hitting ability. He was well aware of him, and obviously Marlon Gunn carried the ball very well. He didn't have a ton of yards last week, but he had some nice runs. Made something to nothing a few times against UCF. And so I really like that 1-2 punch that Mitchell and Gunn give us. And not only that, but their defense, although they're big in the trenches, they've really struggled to pressure opposing quarterbacks. And I like those matchups. We've seen what Winstead and C.J. Johnson can do. Who knows, maybe you have Jalen Johnson back into the mix, and we've seen what he's capable of when he had that 9-catch game, I guess it's against Old Dominion. So I think the Pirates, as long as we don't turn the football over, I think we'll be great offensively. On the defensive side, you look at BYU, they certainly have playmaking ability. They have a solid quarterback in Jaren Hall, 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He did have his worst game of the year. A week ago, 16 out of 34 against Liberty. They've struggled to run the football at times, and tonight they're going to be without Christopher Brooks, who's a transfer from Cal, and the former Cal Bear is out with an injury, and he's accounted for nearly 500 yards on the ground, 5 or 6 touchdowns, and then they're also without their top receiver, Cody Epps, a playmaking freshman who had nearly 40 receptions and 6 touchdowns. So they're missing, you look at it, 900 to 1,000 yards of production and 11 touchdowns. So that's a lot to make up for, and they certainly have some guys. Puka Nacua, a talented receiver who's a Provo native that transferred back from the University of Washington. He's a guy to keep an eye on. He's had something like 15 catches for 250-plus yards the last 2 weeks. And then also Keanu Hill, he's a playmaker, 400 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns. So those are a couple guys to keep an eye on that they'll really be leaning on with those other guys' absence.
Certainly agree with that, Bubba. It's gonna be an interesting game. I was reading some articles this week on the game, and people in Provo, BYU fans, really think of this game, in all honesty, as a make-or-break game because they've only got 4 wins, and they have 1 FCS team left. I think it's Utah Tech, if I'm not mistaken. So, and the other FBS teams they have on the schedule are not easy opponents, to say the least. So many BYU fans think that this is a must-win for them. And I'll tell you, Bubba, I think you knew this. I was originally planning on going out to this game, but with how good BYU looked early on and, frankly, how bad we looked early on, I was just like, you know what? I mean, the Uber prices from Salt Lake City to Provo were not an easy – were not a cheap penny. So I'd say, I'm just going to stay back. But now I'm kind of regretting not going because I do think the Pirates have a chance to win tonight. Bubba, what's your score prediction, man?
That's what I really hadn't thought about a
specific score, but let's see. I will go. Let me say East Carolina 38, BYU 27. I'll go 38-27 Pirates.
Okay.
But something else I wanted to point out, just I talked about how they're missing their top running back, and even prior to that, they struggled to run the football. I think with the Pirates' ability to stop the run, if that continues tonight, which I don't see why it wouldn't, but if we go out there and do what we need to do in the trenches and slow down the run, I really see us being able to make them one-dimensional. So I think if we can continue our recent trend of winning the turnover battle, but just hold up on the back end. UCF had some opportunities to make a play or two early last week, and they didn't capitalize. So, hopefully we will not present those same chances to BYU, and we'll be sound in the secondary. And, if we can get off to a fast start, a team like this has lost three in a row. Yes, they're at home, but they could really start, doubting some things because, head coach Kalani Sitake, he's taken over the defensive play calling duties, and he's a defensive-minded head coach. So it's going to be interesting to see, what, if anything, they've altered defensively. Maybe not necessarily so much changing their scheme at this point, especially since they haven't had the open date to do anything like that, but more so like when they call what they do, So it will be interesting nonetheless to see how they attack Holton Ahlers, who's such a seasoned quarterback.
No, I agree with that. I've gone back and forth, and I'm going to quote Lee Corso. I remember when we played BYU in 2015 game, it was at Utah, and I remember he said East Carolina will score, but BYU will win. I've been going back and forth on this game, and I know it's kind of superstitious, but a lot of times when I've picked East Carolina to lose, they win. And it's a big momentum game. There's part of me who thinks that ECU is going to blow them out with how the teams are playing. There's another part of me where I think that BYU is just so hungry and motivated, and we're still fresh off this UCF win. I think the difference in this game, frankly, is the coaching of Mike Houston, and I'm going to give East Carolina the win today. And I think ECU is going to score quite a bit. I am going to say that ECU will once again put up 38 points in Provo. You said 38. I'm going to say 38-2. I'm going to say 38-35. It's going to be closer than what you think. It's a 3.5 line right now in favor of BYU. I think it's going to be around that. 38-35 is my score. East Carolina becomes bowl eligible for the second straight year. Bubba, thank you for joining me, and thank you all for joining me as well. Go have yourself a beer, get some chicken wings, and go watch the game. It's going to be a great one. Have a great night.